Blog Talk Radio.
Following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30, and it's Sunday, February 23rd, 2020, and thanks for joining us for the first episode of The Walking Dead Online Viewing Party on 2020 here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. I also want to give a special shout-out to a longtime friend and co-host of the show, Jeff Ferguson, who was kind enough to call in tonight. Jeff is a NDB Media host on his own right with Jeff Trek, and he will be joining us tonight to comment on the show just like old times. Jeff, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. All right, so tonight's show contains spoilers up to the last episode. And Jeff, if I can get you to turn your mic down just a tiny bit, I am hearing some feedback. We'll have possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. Welcome back to our listeners after a hiatus of over 2 months. We hope you guys have had a good holiday season, however you celebrate it. So typically we start a show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 o'clock, we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10, 1 being and 10 being perfect, and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. So please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. I also want to give a big round of applause for one of our regular listeners who comes to the chat room and helps me out a whole lot. Joan, thank you for joining us. So before I dive in, Jeff, do you have anything that you want to remark about the show? I know that you've been playing catch-up with your new shiny fast cable, and I don't know how caught up you are, but anything you want to say before we get into the meat and potatoes here?
Yes, I think I had an opportunity to watch tonight's episode before everyone else, or I don't know. So I'm ready. I am so ready to discuss what's going on. And there's nothing I want to contribute because I am just catching up. You are the one that's going to, you know, contribute right now. So I need to know where you guys are at. We're about to start, so I'm going to hand it off to you two. And by the way, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
You are absolutely welcome. So welcome to Season 10, Episode 9. Tonight is the mid-season opener. Season 10 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season with 8 episodes that ran until November 24th. Then episode 9 through 16 will begin tonight, and they'll run up through April 12th, ending season 10. So we seem to be having a month break in there, after which the new series entitled The Walking Dead World Beyond, which was filmed somewhat extended locally. It was in Hopewell, which is right outside Richmond, Virginia. And that will begin on Sunday, April 12th for 10 episodes, and that will end on June 14th, and that's running on AMC. I had heard rumors it was going to be on one of those special pay access channels. Like, we're not already paying for AMC as it is, but turns out it will be on the normal AMC channel where we see our Walking Dead traditional and our fear, The Walking Dead. So according to Forbes, AMC confirms The Walking Dead World Beyond will only run for 20 total episodes, which is a break-in format. It's going to be 2 10-episode seasons, presumably without the mid-season break that has been done in the past, which means it will wrap season one on June 14th, in theory. Given that prior press indicated we only have 10 weeks this year in 2020 of no Walking Dead shows at all, it stands to reason that Fear Season 6 would then pick up on the following Sunday, June 21st, and then do their split 8-8 season to August 9th, or also run straight through to September 4th, followed by The Walking Dead Classic Season 11 on October 11th. So I had to sit and extrapolate all these dates out for you guys. So this is just speculation for now. If anybody else wants to call in, we are taking calls all evening at 914-338-0314. Especially any time between now and 9 o'clock. If you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as go back and download the episode after the fact, and we post the links for that on Facebook and my Twitter. So feel free to share those around with anybody else you know who's into the show. And if you guys are unable to join us in real time this evening, you can go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Just go to the top of the page, click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page, and you can download this and prior episodes also on iTunes. I'm going to check in with you real quick, Jeff, and see if there's anything else you want to mention.
I don't know, Commander, Admiral, I don't know what to call you, but wow, wow, great spiel, I love it.
Thank you.
You are taking command.
Someone's got to whip this place into shape around here. Thank you. Yes, you guys have to understand, Jeff has been with us since the early days, before I was even a co-host. And so things have definitely changed and grown. As we've been doing this, I think, since the middle of season 2, almost season 3 of Walking Dead Classic. So since we're in season 10, that's quite a long time, guys.
Yeah, I started out with Mark, and then you continued it, and I had Jeff Trek, and then I moved across country. I did do a Jeff Trek not that long ago with Manu Interamy, which was pretty cool. That was a few months ago, but way too long ago. So Jeff Trek,
I'm looking forward to back more regularly.
Yeah, Jeff Trek's on its way back. For those of you that don't know the host of Jeff Trek, I'm Jeff, and I'm also a stand-up comedian, actor, producer, whatever. Everyone puts titles above their head, I like the practice of it, the practice of the craft, whether you're doing a podcast, stand up, acting, music, I play guitar, I sing, I love it all. And now that I've been relocated to the other side of the country and got stable, which is not easy to do, now I can start doing what I'm doing. What I was doing in Boston and do it better. I've already been doing a lot of Jeff Treks out here, but now it's going to be a lot different, and we're going to do some crossovers. I will be joining you with The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead. I'm catching up on both those series. I'm not going to talk too much, in fact, I'll just give you the reins. I apologize if I went on a tangent, but Jeff Trek is back and on The Walking Dead show here. Well, hey, let's have some fun.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know when Jeff Trek is back on a regular basis, because I know that I owe you a couple of call-ins, and so definitely we'll have some cross-promotional fun going on here.
We will. Excellent. And I'm, like I said before, I'm so proud of you. You sound great. I know when I went from local access television where I had to edit everything to going to Blog Talk Radio to just going live and talking and let it be. But there are pros and cons of doing that because you may not sound as sharp all the time unless you edit, but you sounded sharp. There's nothing anyone could edit from your opening to this show. You are amazing, and you're a sweetheart, and just letting you know, I'm back in town. The boy is back in town.
Yay! Excellent, yay. Just like old times. All right, I'm going to go ahead and introduce everybody else to tonight's episode. The title is called Squeeze, and the official AMC synopsis is, the collected communities are reluctantly respecting the new borderlines being imposed on them. If you guys remember at the mid-season finale where Alpha was taking more land and putting down new boundaries and pretty much pushing to see how much crap she can make everybody take, and then we ended up at a cliffhanger, literally, as they went over a cliff into a cave trap. And that's where we last left our intrepid heroes. So as we do traditionally these days, I have additional synopses for you guys that are a little extended. This one is from comicbook.com, and it was actually written in December, but it is about tonight's episode, and I will read that to you real quick. This one is by Cameron Bolomono. And he is one of the regular writers for comicbook.com about this show. And he says, The Walking Dead Season 10 returns with an aptly named mid-season premiere set to reveal the fates of Alexandria and Hilltop heroes who fell victim to a trap sprung by Whisperer leader Alpha in the mid-season finale, The World Before. That was the title. While Michonne set sail with desperate family man Virgil, to retrieve weapons needed to end the survivors' war against the Whisperers and the Walker herd, Daryl, Carol, Aaron, Connie, Kelly, Maga, and Jerry fight for their lives while trapped in a cave surrounded by thousands of Alpha's clawing guardians. She sent the Master Horde down there after them. Season 10, Episode 9 will be titled Squeeze. The title could be referring to the tight squeeze Jerry finds himself in when The Walking Dead returns, as shown in the trailer for the back half of the season. We see the burly Jerry moving through a narrow tunnel before screaming when he's gripped by walkers. During a recent appearance at German Comic-Con Dortmund, Andrews admitted the episode was the hardest he's filmed. Quote, physically, the next episode, yeah, that was hard, he said. It's dark. And it's hard to see in the dark as an actor. I can't tell you any more than that. So, yeah, that's all. Next episode. We can see parts of that in the teaser trailer for this. We can see him trying to get squeezed through here. And hopefully he's made it because he is on the couch tonight for Talking Dead. But I will get to that in a little bit. I have the itinerary for that for you guys later. So beyond resolving the cave cliffhanger, the remaining half of the season will address Negan's assimilation into the Whisperers, while key players, namely Alpha's currently missing daughter, Lydia, and recently flipped Whisperer Gamma, make game-changing decisions on both sides of the escalating conflict. Quote, we've trapped a bunch of people in a cave full of walkers, so we'll have to tell that story. So that's definitely going to be a big part of where we pick back up, showrunner Angela Kang previously told Entertainment Weekly. Obviously, we have Negan embedded with Whisperer, so we'll continue to kind of tell the story that's involved there. And then not necessarily specific to the episode back, but just as a whole. At this point now, some lines have been crossed, right? The border has been crossed by both sides. There have been these acts of war, and so things are now escalating very, very fast. And we kind of get to the big conflict between the Whisperers and our people, end quote. I'm going to stop here. That's the end of the article. Jeff, is there anything you want to jump in and add before we go to the next one?
Not at all. We're running out of time, and I want to give you as much time as possible because you are definitely laying it out. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. We've added many features since you've been on here on a regular basis that you may be kind of hopefully surprised in a cool way.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
And during
been,
the break.
By the way, I haven't been gone that long. Maybe from this show. but not
from
Blog Talk
from
Radio.
You've been lurking around Blog Talk Radio, but I don't think you've been on with me during the full reformatting and the additional features that I've been adding over time. You know, a lot of this may be new to you because I've really only kind of done this since about the beginning of season 7 with my own format, and I've added things over time.
Listen, the red carpet is out here, you know,
yes,
and I'm walking on it. So let me listen to what the queen of The Walking Dead has to say.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. So the next extended synopsis I have for you guys is from Fansided, which is part of winterscoming.net. And this is by Ashley Hurst, who is Guy Ashley. He wrote this a week ago, and it's entitled The Walking Dead's Mid-Season Premiere Gets Rare Sexual Content Rating. So I had to raise a little eyebrow at this. I'm not sure what's going on, and they probably won't spoil too much. But Ashley says, The Walking Dead Mid-Season Premiere Squeeze bears the content descriptor SVL, which means that the episode will contain violence, bad language, and scenes of a sexual nature, according to comicbook.com.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Because I keep seeing, like, adult content, nudity, violence. I haven't seen any nudity recently. I don't know if I've ever seen any nudity in this thing. As far as violence, there's plenty of it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There hasn't been any looking at nudity. There have actually been naked walkers. We did an episode on that.
Oh, right, with dirty nipples.
dead nipples. Boring. Oh, okay, so the rest of the article says, this contrasts with the show's more typical content rating V for violence, which just means to brace for violence. Sometimes it gets slapped with VL, which means it's also bad language. Negan probably has a lot of lines in those fucking episodes. But an SLV rating is rare for this show. Now, for my radio show, we have it rated R because I do drop the F-bomb. The Walking
F-bomb's
Dead
fine.
The Walking Dead has plenty of violence, but comparatively few sexual scenes. That is true, especially when compared to other major cable shows like Game of Thrones and Vikings, and frankly, half of AMC's lineup. But with the AMC drama recently going through a transitional period, including Angela Kang becoming the new showrunner starting season 9, some things have been shifting around. The previous episode left us on a cliffhanger, you know, as one does with the mid-season finale, with our favorite characters led into a cave and trapped by the Whisperers. People in peril included Daryl, Carol, Aaron, Magna, Jerry, Connie,
I
got to
stop
Kelly.
You right there. I got to stop you with Daryl and Carol because they keep sitting down next to each other. You know, they've been there since they're the only ones left. Why aren't they sleeping together, and why isn't there any nudity? Please, educate me.
Well, because both of them are currently in weird, twisted, not relationships with other people. And they're kind of doing the X-Files thing. You know, Mulder and Scully didn't have a relationship until 8 or 9 seasons in. And even then, it was really kind of odd. It was like, you know, best friends who happened to be in a relationship. Kind of weird. I mean, they're bonded by their brokenness.
But yeah, but they're friends with benefits without the sex. Like they benefit each other by hanging out and killing zombies and all that. But, you know, they're friends with benefits
admit,
other than the one benefit that they probably both want.
Yeah, they're getting it from other people. She was married to the king, and then she just walked away, and she actually does not know his great secret yet. I don't know if you, in your catch-up, have caught it. King Ezekiel.
Well, I did put ketchup on my potatoes earlier, but no. Well, now we're at the hour.
It's not a spoiler if you're caught up. King Ezekiel believes, for various reasons, and this has not been confirmed in character, but he believes that he is coming down with throat cancer, which runs in his family.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to break this to Carol without it being like, I'm just telling you this so it'll come back to me. He doesn't want it to come off like that, so he's dragging this. That's a whole plot thing that came out last season.
What about the subplot with the Indian doctor? And like, obviously,
didn't watch finale, did you?
Well, Hollywood has been like just pushing the LGBT or whatever you call it, the gay relationships in prime time television shows, which I'm okay with. It's just, did they push too hard in this case, or what is going on with those two doctors?
Well, first off, the one doctor is Muslim, not Indian. And the other guy you're talking about, Dante, there's a whole plot twist with that was part of the mid-season finale. And I'm wondering if you actually caught up to that, because everything...
He got tortured. One of the guys got tortured.
Oh, honey, you're behind.
how far?
Well, the mid-season finale, there are three major plot points around all that stuff you just mentioned. If you haven't watched it yet, I kind of don't want to ruin it for you.
Hey, Jeff Trek is all about the spoilers, so that's why I'm here, man. Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's
how we roll. We're not about the spoilers. You know better than that. Son.
Yeah, but it's not spoilers to me if everyone in your audience already knows.
So the thing with Dante and Sadiq is that Dante is a whisperer plant.
Yes.
And he murders Sadiq. And that is the where we left off with that part of the plot in the mid-season finale. So, you know, Rosita comes in and catches something funny going on, but she hasn't figured it out quite yet. And so I guess we're going to probably see her tonight fully figure out what the hell's going on and what they're going to do about the problem they call Dante. Sadiq comes back and gets put down, I think, by Gabriel. Gets, you know, re-put down as a walker.
Yes.
They torture him, and I'm not sure to what end other than just sowing chaos and spying on people, which I guess is good, but I haven't really seen any signs of benefit from this. We'll see.
And then there's the bat surrounded by barbed wire. And
Lucille, and
how he's joining. Who I'm talking about.
He
wants to give himself to the skinheads or whatever you call them, the skinnies. What do you think about that?
My theory is that he is up to something, because if you watch how he talks to them, he's playing alpha.
Yep.
And I think he's deliberately trying to cause a fight between her and Beta.
Right. Beta is pretty big. Why isn't Beta beating the crap out of him?
Because Alpha does not listen. Alpha
and,
does not tell him.
Do you think Negan is going to just totally cord, that's the right word, the alpha, and then the beta gets killed, and then he kills her, and then suddenly he's in charge of the skinheads? Do you think that's what's going to happen?
I don't know that he wants to be in charge of them. I think he wants to neuter them. I mean, once you take out the leadership, it would be very difficult to figure out the pecking order past that point.
Right.
You know, they don't really have, more than one or two lieutenants that Alpha handpicked, and one of them just turned on her. Gamma just, you know, was like, fuck this noise, I'm out of here, and is betraying them because she found out that the daughter is still alive. Lydia still exists. Now, Lydia went power quit back towards the Whisperers now, but she isn't back yet, so we don't know if she's going to go full on or not. She's wandering around for 2 months in the desert while we have our break over November and December. So we don't know what's going on with that yet. We'll find out.
The daughter of who's that bald woman that's in charge of all the skinheads?
That's Alpha.
That's
Alpha.
Alpha, right. She doesn't have a name. Because they don't have names in the apocalypse.
Interestingly, she never gave Lydia an alphabet name. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
even though Lydia walked with them and you know, wore the skin and everything, she never got a pack name. She's the
now,
only one.
Lydia is the brunette, the cute brunette that leaves and goes back to her mother, right?
Well, she, ostensibly she goes back to her mother, but we haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I got a little ahead. I saw her more than we were seeing tonight.
Oh, she very likely is. I mean, she feels betrayed and used, so she's probably power quitting to go back there. But she is also aware that her mother lied about her dying.
Yeah,
so
she's
I don't
mad
know how this
that. She's mad that both sides screwed her over. So, and then she ran back to her mother. I think she's going to, like, try to assassinate her mother. She's probably going to hook up with, the bat. And they might
Negan?
Be leading the, yeah, Negan. And Negan's, do you see Negan taking out that big freaking dude, the big skin dude? What's his name again?
Not by Beta.
Beta?
Yeah. I don't. They're not going to get rid of Beta that easily, though. We still got to figure out who Beta is, because Beta is some kind of celebrity in their world. It's like it's kind of like finding out that Beta was like Michael Jordan or something. You know, there's been music hints. I don't know if you caught that. There was an Easter egg in Fear the Walking Dead. Were you watching that? Are you keeping up with that?
I've been watching it. It sounds like they're more like trying to be like Marvel superheroes now in Fear the Walking Dead. Oh, we're here to save everybody. You know, I'm not sure. I don't know what's going on.
But so there was a Daniel in there was collecting vinyl records because he managed to find a record player that would work. And one of the records that he dropped running away from the walkers shows a face, and it is theorized that this face is a musician who may be Beta, but it has not played out yet, so we're not sure.
Because the crossover has been so anticipated over the years.
Yep.
And
let's go ahead and finish off this synopsis because we've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to complete that before we go dark, and then I may read some more stuff during the commercial. Okay, so People in Peril, I read to you guys, and then we stopped. They're surrounded by a horde of walkers, and there seems to be no way out. Forbes, which had an early review of the first two new episodes, compares their journey to the 2009 thriller The Descent, in which a group of friends are lost in a cave and hunted by predators. That's a solid movie, so we're taking this as a good sign. Forbes also teases further developments in the relationship between Alpha and Negan, which I'm, the author, excited to watch because of a certain plot twist that happens in the comics, which he doesn't mention and I'm not going to read to you guys because we don't do that. Also remember that things in the comics often get attributed to other people or left out entirely, so you never know. But at any rate, later in the season, we're hoping to get a glimpse of a new community, and I'm not naming it, but if you've read the comics, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read the comics, I'm not telling you, because we don't like to mention the comics when we do this. And that is the end of that article. That leaves us 2 minutes. I'm going to go to the chat room real quick, and Joan had a couple of comments that I want to catch up on before we go dark. Joan mentions there was a naked Daryl at one point. I forgot about that. Back when the sanctuary was up and running, but it wasn't very explicit. You're right. When Negan had him in the jail, he was naked for a while, but we didn't get any good bit. And Joan says, they don't have names in the Whisperer. Supposedly she mentioned the same thing I did. She let Lydia keep her name, one of Alpha's weaknesses maybe. They have made quite a bit of noise about how Lydia is Alpha's weakness because she lied about her dying. She's terrified that her pack will find out. And she had that shrine to Lydia, and then she and Beta had a big fight about it. She tore it up. So we know that that's a way in. And the fact is going to get interesting if Lydia does come back, because Lydia got very attached to Negan because Negan saved her life against those people that were bullying her and ended up killing one of them by accident. He didn't mean to, but, you know, she was being an asshole. Well, you know, she was being an asshole about it, and he couldn't be gentle. That was her own fault, but he got blamed for it, you know, and people held that against Lydia. That's part of why she ran. And so, you know, I know what Joan's talking about here. We've got about a minute and a half not even that, before we go to the live episode. I'm going to go ahead and pull up. I had a third synopsis I'm going to read to you guys during the first commercial break. We've got a lot of other stuff. We've got writers, directors' profiles, and birthdays, and trivia, and some other stuff that I'll get to during the break. So I'll read off to you guys. Yeah, we do a bunch
you
of
did,
stuff.
You did your homework. Oh, my God.
Oh, absolutely. This is not your mama's Walking Dead viewing party, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, I love you. Thank you so much again for inviting me, because this has been wonderful, and I missed you. I missed talking to you, and, you know, I think you're doing a marvelous job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to go ahead and go dark because the live episode's coming on, and I will talk to you guys at the first commercial break. Thanks for joining us. Jeff will be right back. Okay, guys, and that was a super short opener, only 2 minutes in, and we are back. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to rate this a 5 because it was so short of a time. It's hard for me to have much of an opinion about it. Jonas said, wow, short opening, but Alpha got the last line. Bitch, starting with a 6. Jones at 6. I'm at 5. Jeff, do you want to jump in and rate tonight? Are you able to watch live?
Yeah, I call that a 7.
Really? Okay. All right, Jeff has a 7. I'm going to put that in the chat room so I don't forget. And while we are on break, I'm going to keep my eye on this to make sure I don't over-talk going back. But I have that one last synopsis for you guys, which is also from comicbook.com and Cameron Bolomono. And this is The Walking Dead midseason premiere in episode 10 synopsis release. So they're going to talk a little bit about next week's episode, Stalker, as well, because they're sort of together. So he says, quote, synopsis for The Walking Dead 10-9 Squeeze and 10-10 Stalker warned the survivors will face grave threats when season 10 resumes. The midseason finale, The World Before, ended with Michonne setting sail with Virgil to collect weapons needed to destroy the Walker herd controlled by Alpha and the Whisperers, who threatened to unleash the horde of undead on the allied communities. A scout team consisting of Daryl, Carol, Aaron, Magna, Jerry, and sisters Kelly and Connie located the herd when falling victim to a trap spun by Alpha, and they'll have to get clever if they hope to make it out alive. Right, I have a video I need to silence. There we go. As previously reported, the midseason premiere Squeeze is penned by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, a 5-season veteran who penned season 2's episode Chupacabra, season 8 Some Guy, and The Big Scary You, and season 9 episode Evolution. You know, we do the writers and directors later, and I'll give you a more complete answer on all this in a bit. But the last one, Evolution, was where Jesus became the first victim murdered by the disguised Whisperers. It was earlier learned the midseason premiere was inspired by horror movie The Descent, about a group of vacationers forced to survive when trapped below ground with flesh-hungry creatures. Let's see. Okay, we're still on commercial, so I will continue. Comicbook.com can confirm Squeeze is directed by Michael E. Satrazemis, otherwise known as Satro, who has directed more than a dozen episodes since Season 4 Standout The Grove, his premiere episode. And I have the perfect wave for that that I grabbed and I keep around once in a while. You guys remember The Grove? That was Look at the Flowers, Lizzie, that episode. That was Satro's first. His credits include Season 5 episodes Slab Town and Try, Season 6 Mid-Season Finale Start to Finish, Season 9 episodes Evolution and Guardian. Satro has directed multiple episodes of Fear the Walking Dead also, including its Season 4 Mid-Season Finale, No One's Gone, and Season 5 Finale, End of the Line, where we last left off with them. The official synopsis for Squeeze, I've already read to you guys, so I'm not going to read it again. We are back, so I'm going to go mute, and I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, we are back. It is 9:10, and we are at second commercial break, so let's go ahead and get some scores up. Joan is at 6.5. I'm going to jump up 6.25. Jeff, do you care to weigh in and rate tonight's episode?
I'm gonna hover on 7.
All right, Jeff's still at 7. That's fine, because, you know, we don't usually allow going back down. So once you've made that bold move where no man has gone before, at least not tonight, you know, you're committed.
Well, this man has gone there before, and I haven't gone any further.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do have that rating tonight, so we don't know who's going to go further doing what yet for all these sexual content. We'll see about that.
Wow.
Let me go ahead and jump back in. So we do have a lot of other information for you guys. This section we usually do every week is writers and directors profiles. I have managed to locate a consistent source where I can find out the writers and directors of the episode ahead of time. We do bios on them, and both of the people involved tonight are veterans of the show. It was written by David Leslie Johnson, McGoldrick, and I'll get to that in a minute, and directed by Michael Satrazamis. So let's see if we can get David's profile at least before we go back. David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, his name changed professionally in the spring of 2018, began writing plays in the second grade and wrote his first screenplay at age 19. Johnson attended Ohio State University in Columbus and graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Photography and Cinema. Currently, Johnson lives in Burbank, California with his wife, screenwriter Kimberly Lofstrom Johnson, and their son, Samuel. Johnson McGoldrick began his career as a production assistant on Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption, which was filmed on location in Johnson's hometown of Mansfield, Ohio, at the historic Mansfield Reformatory, where Johnson's great-grandfather had been a prison guard. Johnson spent the next 5 years as Darabont's assistant, using the opportunity to hone his craft as a screenwriter. And we have the Talking Dead sneaking in here. I'm going to take a peek at my screen and see if we're going back. We are not, so I'll continue the bio. He co-wrote the screenplay for the new Aquaman movie that came out in December 2018, which did so well that as of February 2019, he had already been hired to pen the script for the Aquaman sequel, which is due out in 2022. He wrote the script for 2016 sequel The Conjuring 2 and was brought back to work on current new sequel The Conjuring 3 slated for 2020, later this year, not anytime soon. He's also listed as the main writer for the Nightmare on Elm Street 2020 reboot. Other future projects include a Dungeons & Dragons movie slated for November 2021 and another remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers also slated for 2022. David has been involved with The Walking Dead since 2011. He started out as a writer for Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra, and has writer's credits for 119 episodes of The Walking Dead before tonight. The last
119?
Yes, 119? He's a veteran. He's a hardcore veteran writer for the show.
Okay.
The last previous one tonight was Season 9, Episode 13, Choke Point. He also has story by and teleplay by credits for 2017's Season 8, Episode 5, The Big Scary You. He's been a consulting producer contiguously since season 8. Tonight is his 12th episode written for the overall Walking Dead franchise, starting with season 2, episode 5, Chupacabra, 13 if you count The Big Scary You, but that was a teleplay by me. Previously, we had him listed with 2 additional credits, but IMDb says otherwise, so I've made a correction. And we are not back yet, so let's see if we can squeeze in Satro's bio. Michael Edison Satrazamis, who is our director tonight, nicknamed Satro, is known for his work on The Walking Dead, The Crow, the movie from 94, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues from 2013. He's done camera work for many TV shows and movies, also including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf. He's directed an episode of Stranger Things and more. Satro has been some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with that, season 1, episode 2. I'm not sure why that's funny, Jeff.
I'm sorry. Your name dropping like crazy. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah. I've done his bio several times now since he's worked on the show a lot. So I've had plenty of practice to tweak it.
Sorry to distract you. Go ahead.
He's been directing photography for 3 episodes, season 3, episode 14, Prey in 2013. And I'm going to interrupt his bio because we're back, and I will continue this at break number 3. 2, 1. Okay, guys, it's 9:21, and we are at commercial break number 3. So let's go ahead and get some scores up. Joan has discovered some bad news that I had for you guys about Talking Dead, that it's not going to be on until after 11 tonight, but we will get to that in a hot minute. Joan's at 6.5 still. I'm going to come up to 6.5 with her. Jeff, do you want to change your 7? Are you still hovering?
7.
All right. Jeff's going to do the mighty 7. All righty. So let me go back and finish Satcho's bio for you guys. A lot of the regulars have heard this, but I want to give him his props. So he's second unit director of photography for 3 episodes up to season 3, episode 14, Prey, in 2013. He was then director of photography from 2013 to 2017, and he was Monsters season 8, episode 3. He directed 15 prior episodes of The Walking Dead. Oh, see, now Jeff's got Captain Trip, so I'm just kidding. Starting with The Grove, season 4, episode 14, and up to season 9, episode 12, Guardians. He's also directed 5 episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, all in season 4, ending with the season 4 finale, I Lose Myself. Directing tonight's episode will be his 16th director's credit and 21st overall within the franchise. Next part is trivia. Trivia about tonight's episode. As you guys know, traditionally, we don't have too much trivia before the live episode because we don't want spoilers, but I'll give you what I got. So tonight is the 140th episode ever of The Walking Dead. As of this episode, Avi Nash, who played Sadiq, is no longer listed under also starring. This is also the first episode that airs in the 2020s decade. Two uncredited credits. Unknown infant actress as Socorro Espinosa, and Stephanie McIntyre is a uncredited walker. Trivia for last time's episode. First appearance of character Virgil, who was captured by Oceanside and is now with Michonne in tonight's episode. First appearance of Jen, who rescued Dante. First appearance of Wayne, who rescued Dante, and these are conversations about earlier when they rescued him several episodes ago. Last appearance of Sadiq in a flashback, zombified. Last appearance of Cheryl in a flashback, that was a woman in an Alexandria clinic who was asphyxiated by Dante. And the last appearance of Dante, of course. That episode marks Seth Gilliam's 50th appearance on the TV series. The title of the episode, The World Before, refers to the name of the book Virgil is taking to take to his daughter. Judith documenting everything that is happening in a book for the future generations is a nod to Carl reading a book about Rick's story through the apocalypse to his daughter in the comic series. This is one of the only few times I'll mention something from the comics because it is public knowledge trivia. It is revealed
all right,
that it was
I'm
Dante.
Stop you there. I got to stop you there. What's the difference right now between the comic series and the canon TV series?
We would need a 2-hour episode of this show to explain it all. First off, Carl doesn't have a daughter because Carl isn't alive in the TV show.
Right. All right, go ahead.
The deviances are lengthy. Let's see. Okay, we're still at commercial, so I can keep going.
Carl could have impregnated that girl that he was hot with.
Stop it. They're minors. Stop it. Stop it. They are minors in the show.
Minors?
No.
I had some of the best sex of my life when I was a minor.
Hey. We're rated R. That's where we're getting that sexual content rating from is you.
You should have rated PG-13.
No.
Go ahead.
It is revealed that it was Dante who not only sabotaged the water valve, but was also responsible for painting the Silence the Whispers graffiti around town and murdering Cheryl. It is also revealed that Dante is a recent Whisperer recruit, with this being one of the main reasons he was chosen for the spying mission, since Lydia didn't know him and would thus be unable to recognize him. And now we are back. I'll finish the trivia at break number 4. Okay, guys, that was a very long break. I definitely agree with Joan. I'm going up to 7. Joan's going up to 7. Jeff, you want to weigh in and rate? Are you going to stay with your 7 or are you going up?
7.5.
Okay. 7.5 for Jeff. and it is 9:30. Pardon my hiccups. 9:39. By the way, for those of you who do the Walking Dead rewards, TWDrewards.com, the passcode from Joan is end of the world, one word. She's also remarked, well, if that ain't enough to make Negan want to kill Alpha, I don't know what would be. Not sure what his end game is, though. I think, and Jeff and I were discussing this in private while we were watching the live show, my theory is that Negan is in there to sow dissent because he got kind of cozy and chummy with Lydia when she was kind of like, you know, he saved my life and they got to be buds because they both have the whole shitty past, so nothing we do is ever good enough bonding thing going on. I think he is there to make Alpha and Beta fight because that's the one thing that's going to weaken the Whisperers is to have their leadership in shambles, especially now that Gamma's defected. Jonah's also said, I can see why this episode would be difficult to shoot. If you guys remember the article I read you where the actor who plays Jerry was commenting about claustrophobia. It's difficult to watch, and I'm only a little claustrophobic, Joan says, and I was whining about that as well. That scene made me about pee my pants. And Joan's like, mostly because I thought Jerry was going to die right there, and he didn't, at least not yet. And they did check his feet, so he didn't get bit. So we know that much. Jeff, do you have anything else you want to add about that before we go back to reading the trivia and stuff that I have for you guys?
No, go ahead.
All righty. So we were talking about Dante's trivia, and I gotta find real quick where I left off. Okay, Dante was in Alexandria for 4 months before his identity as a Whisper was revealed. Gabriel interviewing Dante is a nod to the episode Remember, where Deanna interviews the members of Rick's group. He also asked Dante the same three questions the ones first asked in 30 Days Without an Accident, which I believe was, you know, have you ever killed walkers, have you ever killed a person, and why? I think that, you know, Rick's original questions. This episode last week, or not last week, but last time, confirms that Dante speaks Spanish. The quote Michonne tells Virgil is a reference to Sadiq and Rick's statement that was used throughout Season 8. Gamma's real name is revealed to be Mary. Coalition soldier extra Chris Brattain passed away during the filming of Season 10 as a way to honor him. The armor his character wore was laid to rest next to Sadiq's grave in that episode. It is revealed in that episode that the skin the group finds near the four dead campers in the episode Lines We Cross is the same skin that Dante wore before he met up with Jen, Wayne, and the rest of the group. Furthermore, the mask was found on the beach also belonged to Dante. And this is the last episode that aired in the decade of the 2010s. Death from that episode. Sadiq was zombified, murdered by Dante, put down by Rosita. I misspoke earlier when I thought that Gabriel did it. That was not. Jimmy, confirmed fate, was claimed by Dante, but unverified in character. Jimmy's assailant, quote-unquote, confirmed fate, claimed by Dante, unverified. Dante, who was killed by Father Gabriel, and one unnamed Alexandria resident. There were no goofs, errors, bloopers from that episode that anybody noted. All right, we are still on commercials. So, birthdays. Enormous, enormous birthdays list. We may not get to it all before we have to go back, but I will read to you what I can. So, the first part that I have are actors, cast, and crew that we do not actually have birthdays for. I just want to give them an acknowledgement because we don't have any way to know. So, unknown birthdays. Aaron Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z. I may be butchering the pronunciation. I apologize. He played Tony, Season 2, Episode 8, Nebraska Bar Scene. We have no date. We have no hometown for him. Adrian Colley Turner, oh, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 5.
Hello?
Okay, guys, we are back. It's 9:52, and we are at commercial break number 6, I believe. Jonah's mentioned, looks like they found a mining shaft or something similar. Yes, we covered that. Old dynamite, not dangerous at all. Nope. Well, they were being kind of weird about it, but that is a good point. It is old dynamite. Normal dynamite, they were being a little excessive, but, yeah, I understand. And Jonah's like, naked, not sure I'm ready for that. Okay, ew, a little too dirty and probably very smelly for my taste. Oh my God. You know, yeah, I'm not really sure what to make of it. We did have a rating warning.
The following
on this
is rated
show.
R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Nudity! Adult content. Okay, 7.5. Pardon me. Jeff, do you want to rate? Apparently it's come to my attention that Jeff is playing catch-up and is no longer watching the current episode. So I don't know if you want to try to rate the last part or not, because you're missing
I'm going to rate it an 8, just because there's been some nudity that I haven't seen, and I'm very upset. I want to see this nudity.
So you're rating it nicely because you're upset. Okay. All right, Trekker. All right, let's
Trekkie.
Yeah. Well, no, see, I'm a Trekker. I'm going to go back to the birthday list so we can try to get as many of these out as possible. The show may run over a tiny bit, but I don't feel bad because I'm going to be talking over top of Better Call Saul, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So, other unlisted birthdays. Adrian Colley Turner, who is Dwayne Morgan's son. He was born in 97, but I have no date. He's from Atlanta. Airely Austin played Isabel, Michonne's driver in season 7. No date, no place. Alex Van Lerberg, who goes under the acting name Alex Van, he was the Hermit in season 3, episode 7, no date, no place. Amber Chaney, who played Annette Green, Beth's mom, and Herschel's second wife. She's in The Fridge Picks and as a barn walker, no date, but she's from Atlanta, Georgia. Amy Kane, who played the mother number 2 in season 2, episode 2, Bloodletting, no date, no birthplace. Danielle Bergio Merrill, who was Judy in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart. She's from Greensboro, North Carolina. And additionally, she was Trinity's fighting double in The Matrix. No idea of her age, but her first IMDb entry is The Cosby Show in 1990. Deborah May, who played Natanya in Oceanside, was born in 1970, no months, in Remington, Indiana. Eric Jensen, who played Stephen Edwards, the Atlanta doctor at Grady, was born around 1975 in Minnesota, no months. James Tate Ellington, who played Alex Terminus, Gareth brother, Mary's son, no date, 1979, Madison, Michigan. Odd, I would have expected Wisconsin, but it's not. Jason Douglas, who played Tobin and Alexandria, no date, no place. Jason Graham, who played William, a to-be-announced character from season 9, episode 11, Walking Dead. I never caught what character that was. Born in 74 in New York City. I'm going to have to probably pause this in a minute when we go back. Jason Warner Smith, who played Gavin, Savior Lieutenant. No date listed, likely Cobb County, Georgia, near Atlanta. Jill Jane Clements, who played Molly, one of the Saviors. No date, no place. John Eyes, E-Y-E-Z. Who goes under John C. Thomas, was Potter, a savior worker, no date, no place, but born in America.
Can I stop you right here? Can I stop you here? There was a guy in the jail that played a bad cowboy.
Stop.
I'm sorry. Hello?
Okay, it is 10:05, and this is the wrap of the episode. I'm going to end on a 7.5, as is Joan. And I'm not going to ask Jeff because he's not watching this episode, but I am going to go back and complete the birthdays and the other stuff I've got for you guys because I have a little time left on the episode, and we have a lot to cover still. So let's go back to the birthdays. I got to scan down here and see where I left off. Okay. Julio Cesar Cedillo, who played Wells, season 3 National Guard, 1970, no months, in Durango, Mexico. Justin Miles, who played Barnes in Alexandria, no date, no place. Karen Renee Malden, goes by Karen Cize, Birdie in Hilltop, no date, no place. Kenrick Green, who played Scott in Alexandria, no date, no place, but he is Sonequa Martin Green's husband. I still could not locate a birthday for him. Carrie Jane Cahill, who played Diane, a Kingdom soldier. No Date, but Born in Helena, Montana. Lane Miller, who played Riley, a savior Rick kills in the bar, and Still Gotta Mean Something, uncredited. No Date, possibly born in Lawrenceville, Georgia, assumed to be in his 30s. Lily Birdsell, who played Hannah in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart as Bicycle Girl Walker. No Date, No Place. Nicole Barr, who plays Kathy in Oceanside, No Date, but from New Orleans, Louisiana. Noel Albert Guglielmi, who played Philippe in Vatos, season one. No Date, 1970s, Santa Monica, California. Stephen Coulter, who played Reg Monroe in Alexandria, No Date, but 1960. Whitmer Thomas, who played Gunther, Savior, with glasses. No Date, Gulf Shores, Alabama. We do still have January and February birthdays. I may end up, for brevity, doing those next time. Featured music from last episode, Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini by Sergei Rachmaninoff, John Debney, Royal Scottish National Orchestra. At 14 minutes in, this was a song whistled by Luke as he, Judith, and Michonne are riding down the road, and Judith asks what the tune he's whistling is, and Luke explains. Unaccounted for characters we've already discussed. Talking Dead tonight will be Laura Ridloff and Cooper Andrews at 11:21 p.m., much to everyone's chagrin, after an episode of Better Call Saul. Andrews and Ridloff will join the Talking Dead couch opposite Chris Hardwick. Also appearing is director Michael Satrazema, Satro. This is Ridloff's fourth visit to the show and the 10th for Andrews. And dear AMC, knock it off with this crap. Air Talking Dead immediately afterwards. We're not going to wait around half the night to prop up whatever show you sandwich in between the two shows. I'm going to squeeze in here real quick. Back half of season 10. Episode 10 next week is Stalker. Episode 11 is Morningstar. Episode 12, What We Become. Episode 13, Walk With Us. 14 is Look at the Flowers. 15 is The Tower, and season finale 16 is A Certain Doom. Director is Greg Nicotero. That will air April 12th, to which we will segue into the Walking Dead World Beyond. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media include the 27th, Travel Itch Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Time through Delaware, ranks only 49th in size among the states. It's near the top when it comes to places to see and things to do. The first state to ratify the Constitution, Delaware has become a recreational paradise that is part of the Delmarva Peninsula, along with Maryland and Virginia. Sandwiched along the Atlantic coast between New York and Washington, the state is known for its rich historical legacy, coastal attractions, and horse and auto racing, as well as a lively restaurant and nightlife scene. Learn more from Delaware Tourism Director Liz Keeler when she's interviewed by Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts on the February 27th edition of Travel Itch Radio. On the 29th, Sports Talk with the Guys, Saturday Morning Extravaganza, February 29th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 in the morning on the West Coast with Roger Noriega and friends. The Monday Morning Quarterbacks are live on Saturday morning. No one is safe while we troll the digital airwaves. This is their quote, guys, so don't blame me. Join us as we discuss the latest news in the world of sports and review the events of the past week. No fantasy sports here. We keep it real. You need to remember we kill brain cells, and as such, we must just be the purveyors of the zombie apocalypse. You have been warned. All righty. I'm going to check in real quick with Joan. Jonas mentioned Daryl is the one who chooses to stay out and search rather than return home. Hope you don't drag this out. Yes. I'm going to check in with you, Jeff, and see if there's anything else that you'd like to add before we go ahead and wrap up the show.
Go ahead, Captain.
Go ahead, Captain. Thank you. All right. So I want to give special thanks to Jeff and Joan for helping me out tonight, both on the air and in the chat room. And thank you not only to everyone joining us tonight, but those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. A special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope you will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode length. Thank you guys for joining us, and good evening.